Krish, welcome to the Intelligent Performance Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you with us. As you know, we are in fanatical excellence in human endeavor. And today is no exception, having such a serial entrepreneur like yourself on the show. So welcome, first of all. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Awesome. So Krish, our first question to all guests is always, what is your take on intelligent performance?
It's a great question. I love that you lead with that, because for each person, it's going to be different based on their background. I come from a sports and health and wellness background. Dad's a sports med doctor. I've grown up with sports, doing soccer for 10 years, volleyball, basketball, rugby, martial arts the whole time, dance the whole time. So I've always been moving and active and trying to do my best in peak performance and the flip side of that, recover. And on the flip side of that, prevent injuries. So I think that intelligent performance really is looking on the back end of things rather than the front end. So that means that everybody can, at a high level, they're performing at a pretty much the same. You got a few superstars here and there, but a lot of the high level athletes are performing at the same amount. But the difference in them is how well they recover and how well they prevent injuries. And that's, I grew up with that with my dad. And so that was kind of how I go from approaching things and giving that attention to detail on the recovery side of things and injury prevention side. I think that really has helped me in my career with staying healthy and staying fit and being motivating for others.
Very cool. Well, I think you're bang on about the intelligent performance piece. Like, it does vary. I was talking with a lady just yesterday, and she was a musician, a horn musician, and her take on performance was really fascinating, I thought, in terms of how, you know, what it means to her, because performance is a really interesting one, right? And I think we're going to talk about hydration on this one. And the title of this episode is What's Wrong with Water? Because, and I think that may be the first thing people think about when they see a lot of these kind of hydration drinks or kind of different takes on water or different types of water. Maybe there's an innate skepticism that, well, we've done so well with with just water on its own. Why do we need to think about enhancing it, improving it, and so forth? But before we dive into really the product side of things, I want to, what's your expertise in this space, Krish? How did you kind of get into the water and hydration?
I've become a bit of an expert over the last 3-4 years because we decided to launch a product and a water brand into the market. And so I've had to become a bit of an expert on what's good and what's not good and why things are the way they are. I'm not a beverage guy. I don't have years of experience in the space. I'm an entrepreneur. I've done several different things, several different ventures. But I think it comes down to getting to the base of things and why things work and why things don't work and how we can improve on the kind of the baseline structure of things.
Your experience as an entrepreneur, you've been in cannabis, you've had a number of different ventures. Tell me, I think one thing entrepreneurs seem to struggle with is sometimes an identity that maybe they see business not quite as clear cut, let's say, an athlete. Whereas I'm starting to take kind of form the view, I think entrepreneurism is actually like a really intense sport. And actually the similarities between those two things are very similar. So would you say that's kind of been the case for your journey, or what would your take on that be?
I would say that's a really great analogy, actually, because the stressors that are there for high performance athletes and for high performance entrepreneurs are still there. Yeah. It's the discipline, the respect, the confidence, the focus, the drive, the recovery, the overall stress when things aren't going good, when you get the losses, how do you recover from those losses and get yourself back up and stay motivated and keep the discipline there to help you stay motivated? So they really do go hand in hand. And I think in almost every dynamic, you could do a side-by-side comparison, and each side would have to have the same to be successful.
So in your sporting expertise and naturally having a dad who's kind of a medical in terms of the sports space, what's kind of been your journey in this area?
In the sports space, you mean? Yeah. So my sports background is quite diverse. When I was younger, I did like 10 years of soccer. And then throughout high school, volleyball, basketball, rugby, athlete of the year and all that kind of stuff. Throughout that whole time, I loved dance. So I used to dance back in the day, break dance back in the day, hip hop, to teach hip hop. Yeah, it's very funny when I break that out sometimes. And then I have a very deep martial arts background. So I started about 40 years ago when I was 10 years old. I got a secondary black belt in Taekwondo. And then in a few of my later years, trained again and got a third degree black belt. It's called AOMA. It's like 16 different styles in one. So all the weaponry, hand technique, leg technique, all the inner power, Qigong stuff. So it's been a very, very cool journey on the athletic side of things. But also what that brings you is a really good foundation and base for your life. And the four pillars I live my life with are discipline, respect, patience, and confidence. I have those four things that carry with me. And that comes from the martial arts and sports and all, you know, the punches in the faces and the losses and everything that you get along the way. It's really created a base for me to excel in a lot of other ventures.
You've mentioned the word recovery a lot already in this interview. So why is that such a focus for you?
Well, it's really the essential to being healthy. When you look at high performance athletes or bodybuilders and just kind of like the broken down science of it, when you're, for example, trying to build muscle, you're lifting heavy weights and you're tearing the muscle to build more muscle. But the only way it's going to build and recover is you give it the right nutrients and you give it the proper rest and recovery to build itself back up. Then you go break everything down again and build back up again. And it's the same way in sports and skills and life. So recovery is such an essential part of the development and the progression of your journey.
But you, how do you think that's made a difference? Because you, like your sporting background, which you just kind of rattled off there, I'm like, wow, you've done a lot in terms of the different space. And probably the one of the best looking 50-year-olds I've ever come across.
Thank you. I chew lots of just for men in the beard, so I got to get rid of the gray
hair. Okay. I'm like, wow, okay. I'll take tips from yourselves. So you've done martial arts for 40 years. It's a high discipline sport, right? It can be a lot of kind of wax on, wax off kind of movements and a lot of repetition in that context. So for you, how do you think, what have you done to fine tune your recovery in that space? Because like I went for a bike ride on the weekend and it's Tuesday here and I'm still feeling it in my legs in terms of the recovery piece, right? So yeah, what are your insights around that recovery piece?
So obviously practice is key. If you keep doing it and keep repetitive and your body gets used to it and all that stuff, the amount that you can push and then the quickness of your recovery because your body's already in that system of functioning is a lot easier. But if you've like rested for a while, and I've gone through times where it haven't worked out for a little while or it's taken a while for you to get back into the gym or start training again, and then you go back in and the next day you're like, oh my God, what's happened to my body? Or feel the age creeping up on you. So there is that discipline of staying consistent, and that will help in the cycle and function of your recovery. But I think that if you give yourself the right ingredients for your recovery, which is, hydration is a big one. Sleep is another one. And if you can bring just even those two to the equation, a lot of your recovery will be speedy and allow you to bounce back quicker.
Yeah. So talk to us about the hydration piece. Why, what's the impact of maybe a lack of hydration?
Well, it's extremely significant actually. So if you're not fully hydrated, which most people aren't, chronic dehydration is like an epidemic. Your systems, internal systems and neurological systems are not functioning properly because they're under low lying levels of stress. And what that does is it actually triggers other illnesses or diseases and such. So being hydrated or as hydrated as possible is such a key fundamental base foundation, whatever you want to call it, to your general wellness and health. And I think that nowadays people are focusing a little more on it, but they don't have access to or don't have the right products in order to get the proper hydration. And that's one of the reasons we kind of came out with what we're doing now and our beverage.
So hydration, most people, just sounds like water intake. Is that what you mean? Or are you saying something different? Or is there more to it than that?
So water intake is important, and that is getting you hydrated. But the water that you're drinking isn't always good for you. There's a lot of gimmicks and a lot of marketing and a lot of BS out there that people are just trying to sell a bunch of different products to you, whether it's like different pHs or different ingredients and all that stuff. But the key element is, it's not what you're putting into your body, it's what you're able to absorb and what's actually bioavailable. And a lot of waters, I would say all of them, except outside of ours, and I'll explain why in a minute, are energetically dead. So they're not in the right energetic state in order to be absorbed. And what that means is the liquid itself and the minerals, electrolytes, whatever's in the liquid is not bioavailable. So you're not getting the full benefit of it. So you'll get hydrated, but not to the point that you actually need to. And I know a lot of people, like, I drink 6 glasses, 8 glasses, 10 glasses a day. I never feel like I'm hydrated enough. I get my headaches. I get worn out. I never feel energized. So it is a huge thing for people.
So you're talking a bit like fortification in terms of cereals, right? So like, instead of, you know, you still get your bowl of Cheerios, but it's fortified with iron. But as I understand it, it often iron's in a form where it doesn't really get absorbed, or it's poorly absorbed by the body. Is that the type of thing you're talking about?
Yeah, it's great for labels and marketing, but is it actually good for you? And I would say most of them are not. No.
I think if there's one recurring theme on this podcast, and it's basically you have to ignore marketing, like, essentially, like, as much of that's really hard to do. A lot of the nutrition advice we get, and it sounds the same for hydration, although it's not certainly one area I'm well-versed in, is it sounds like it would apply there as well. So talk to us. You're seeing a lot at the moment, Prime, you know, that's hit the kind of headlines around hydration. Why do you think those products are actually any good? Are they actually solving the issue, or are they actually kind of causing more of the problem?
So I don't like to speak badly about other products, but what I can say is 99.9% of all the other products are just marketing. There's zero science behind them. The ingredients that they put in there are not great. And if they are good ingredients, they're not bioavailable. So like you just said, like the iron and glue with iron and with fiber, but you're not absorbing it and you're not getting it. So what's the point? So I would say that the majority of those drinks and beverages are not good for you and not giving you the benefit that they claim.
So they claim, many of them are understanding that laced with caffeine, stimulants, things like that. That seems to, you know, provoke the alertness, perhaps, but you're saying that actually doesn't speak to the core issue around hydration. So when you are probably hydrated, what opens up for people?
Well, the side effect of being totally hydrated is you feel way better. Like, you just generally can feel better because your body's functioning how it's supposed to function. Right. And your flow's there, the blood plasma volumes are at a maximum. Your muscles are getting oxygenated. They're getting the minerals, the electrolytes they need to have the proper cell health to function properly. So everything's working to its maximum capability. Now, you might have illnesses or diseases or things. It's not going to solve all those things, but as you're giving your body the best possible chance to recover and to function properly when you're fully hydrated.
Okay, very cool. Talk about the technology. And I think you mentioned just before we jumped on, you've kind of, this technology's, you've got a t-shirt which you're wearing. And so, yeah, tell us, like, that seems really bizarre that you can put some sort of technology into a bottle and also wear it at the same time. So, yeah, talk about that piece. You call it something, is it like the greater than 33 or something?
Yes, it's actually called Below 33 is the name of the technology. Yeah. So my partner spent about 10 years and $12.5 million developing the tech. It's called Below 33 because everything, all natural currencies or currencies, frequencies that occur in nature are 33 hertz and below. Anything above that is man-made. So why we call it that, because we're using all natural frequencies to enhance all of our products. And the tech is, the tech's really cool. So, and the applicability of the technology in not only different frequencies that we can output for different results, but the mediums that we can use, from a sticker to a coin to a glass rod to a nano mesh fiber to a little pearl. There's so many different application processes that we can use. But the easy version, or very simple version to explain it, is We take the Earth's atmospheric frequencies that are bouncing between the surface and the ionosphere. And what that means is the air right now is energetically charged. And that's somewhat powered by the millions of lightning strikes a second around the globe. Right now, the air has an energetic charge to it. That energetic charge hits our frequency technology and excites the tech. And then we can output to whatever we want to put out into the different products. So for water, it's a number of different frequencies that improves the thermodynamics of the water and makes it perform at its most optimum solubility. So what that means is that when you drink it, you're absorbing more of the water, and whatever's in the water, the minerals, electrolytes, all those things are actually more bioavailable and you can actually absorb them. So we're really changing the game when it comes to a performance beverage and actual getting the benefits of what you're drinking, because the liquid itself is performing better because of the frequency technology and being energized and the improved thermodynamics.
Yeah, right. Interesting. So you're saying there's products out there, they've got lots of good stuff in there. You're saying it doesn't actually absorb correctly or properly. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. Not to even close to of what they would want to be and what they say that they're going to.
So what would you say to the person? I'm going to be a fence setter for a second here, Chris, in terms of, well, water's done all right at the last crikey millennia.
Yeah.
Why improve this now?
Well, I think like a millennia ago, people were getting their water from the natural spring and drinking it.
Yeah.
And that's probably the best water on the planet that you can get, that you're going to get the proper hydration because it's coming from the mountain or from the spring. It's run over all the rocks and the minerals. It's at its perfect energetic state right from nature. So when you drink it, that's probably exactly perfect for you. But as time's gone on, we've collected all that water and transported it and let it sit and really like bottled it and done a bunch of stuff with it. It's changed the energetic state of the water and sometimes changed the ingredients of the water. And now we're introducing, you know, distilled water and pH water and all these different kinds of waters that are not actually natural for you to drink. It's creating a lot of issues for people. So back in the day, like water, technically, if you get it right from a natural spring, mineralized right there at best energetic state, you rock and roll, you're doing really good.
Okay,
but
cool.
We don't have access to that these days. So that's why I think things have changed and why we came out with what we did, because we basically make the best water on the planet by ROing it. So we purify it, we remineralize it with a specific blend that we know that's good for you. Put our tech on it, which energizes it, and you now have the best water on the planet.
When I hear energy, it's kind of enter the world of a bit woo-woo, because there's energy and then there's kind of like, just go with it. She had a good energy, which is very intangible often, right? You know, so how, is that what you mean? Are you talking about that type of energy? Are you talking about a kind of intangible, that gut feeling piece, or are you talking about something a little bit more scientific?
No, it is more scientific. I mean, the gut feeling stuff is real stuff, and we're not really taught to learn that stuff. But from my martial arts background, I'm very in tune with it and all that kind of stuff. So kind of the woo-woo side of it is actually real stuff, but people don't quite understand it because you never taught it. But the energies that we're talking about are real measurable. Ours is clinically proven, scientifically proven, hydration study proven. So literally your body, from a very basic version, we're like a bag of meat and water and electrical signals. That's how you're able to move and function and blink and smile. It's because electrical signals are firing throughout your body to make you move. So if you understand when you're performing, what is that frequency and an electrical signal, because it has a frequency to it that's firing through your body while you're performing and exerting, there's tons of studies that we know what that frequency is. So if we can enhance that frequency, you're going to perform better. Flip side, on the recovery side, when your body's calm and relaxed, you have a different set of frequencies running through your body. If we can now enhance those frequencies, you now recover faster. So we're really talking about the medical, scientific, clinical side of the energy stuff.
Okay. How does that link into wearables then?
So we can program the wearables. So right now on the back here, there's a little patch and I have a little disc in here, and that disc is programmed with calming frequencies. So right now that disc is outputting calming frequencies into my body. Okay. So if I'm feeling stressed or anxious or something, I throw my shirt on and you kind of zen out a bit. You kind of calm down. And it's, listen, I have a bunch of friends who I've given some of the apparel to, and their stories are incredible of how they're like, you know, they gave it to a friend with anxiety and they wore it for 2 days and they didn't tell them that the tech was in the shirt. Like, oh, how do you like that hoodie? And like, oh, I love it. You know, it feels so good. And the material's great, but I don't know. I've been feeling really good the last couple of days. Oh. And my other friend was like, yeah, cause there's some tech in there that's giving you cause. And they were like, oh my God, this is crazy. So I get like really good anecdotal stories from my friends that saying, okay, this really works. Even on the performance side, we gave it to one of our friends who's an Ironman athlete. He put the perform patches on him and he was like, it's like my maximum output wasn't there anymore. I could keep pushing harder and faster and longer. It's really cool stuff.
So I'm intrigued on that piece. So it sounds like you would need, how does it emit the energy piece? You need a kind of a battery component and you need to start. Is that what's involved with that?
So it's the science I explained earlier where the air right now is energetically charged. That's literally powering our technology. So there's no batteries needed. There's no recharging needed. You don't have to plug it into the wall to give it a, you don't need a USB. It's literally the air. It sounds crazy. The air is powering our tech. So that means that this shirt, once the tech's in it, I can wear this shirt, wash it, reuse it, and the tech will keep functioning for me.
And it's like a, help me understand for a novice here, is it's like a speaker, it's like a chip. What's the actual, is it like an electrical circuit?
Give me one sec. I'm going to grab one of my, let me grab this for you. So this is for example of what we put on the water itself. So this is the roll that we use in our manufacturing, and these are just stickers. You can see how thin they are.
Yeah.
So each of those stickers has about 1,050 nanolayers in it, and it's got the frequency tech embedded inside. And then this is programmed at our facility in Austria and then rechecked and then quality controlled, and then it's shipped out to us. So basically we have a very proprietary process where we take the sticker or we take a little metal disc, or I call it my magic stick. We take like a little crystal wand and we program it to whatever we want. So yeah, these ones specifically programmed for water or non-alcoholic beverages to energize it. And again, it acts, how can I explain it a different way? It acts like almost like an antenna or an RFID kind of tech where the outside energy source hits it, then this responds out. So that's basically it's happening, that energies in the air are hitting this, and then this responds back out to whatever we program it to.
So to translate, like when you tap your credit card on a kind of point of sale system.
Yes. Yes.
And the energy is coming from the base unit that's coming out, reads the card, and then that kind of emits the signal back.
Correct. Correct. Very, very, very similar dynamic to that. Exactly.
Okay. The benefit here, though, is you're saying it's working off atmospheric energy versus any kind of point of sale or electrical energy which we might need to produce. Well,
right.
Chris, what would you say to people who find this whole thing hard to believe?
I would say you're right.
Maybe one of them, I'd say.
Yeah. I'd say you're right. It does sound hard to believe. We do have a clinical trial and a hydration study based on the water for the athletes that we've done, and the quick results of that is almost 90% of the athletes, not only did they not dehydrate, but they rehydrated much quicker. So they were more hydrated at the end of their workout than when they started, which is absolutely unheard of. And the cool thing about the test, because of how the clinical trial was done and to the standards of it, it has a p-value of 0.05, which means that it's statistically significant. Which that means is that it doesn't matter if you have 10 people or 1,000 or 1,000,000 people, that percentage of the result will be the same. So it's a very good standard for us to use as we move forward from a clinical trial. But I also love using this. I have the stick that I use is actually programmed for wine and spirits. One of the projects my partner had with the tech was for wine and spirits. So I'll be out with guys who are looking to get involved in the business or wanting to learn more about it. I'm like, okay, well, what do you like to drink? Because I know it sounds a little crazy with the Earth's energies and, you know, we respond to it and all that stuff. And so I bring a couple shots of tequila and I put our stick in one for 5 minutes and then they do a taste test and then it blows their mind because we've changed the thermodynamics of it and it changed the whole flavor profile. So I can literally demonstrate in 5 minutes to you the frequency technology working, which is cool.
Is that because it just tastes horrific anyway and it doesn't, you just can't tell the difference or like you just...
Well, a lot of people would argue with you on that, that they love tequila. Tequila is an example. So we can use whiskey, rum, wine, you know, anything alcoholic that you want to do. We can literally change the flavor profile to enhance it and make it a much better, tastier drink. So
just to be back to university there, Chris, where, or college as you call it in the US. And yeah, I've had too many bad nights on tequila. So yeah, I'm kind of a little bit gunshot.
Fair enough. I know a few friends who have that too. They can't. Just, Fair enough.
Okay, very cool. So very interesting in terms of the edge, right? So Intelligent Performance Podcast, very much focused on looking at contrarian thinking often. You have to kind of suspend disbelief. A lot of the times we talk to people, you know, initially you start the episode and you just completely wrong. That's often where you start. And I'm interested to know for you, where did you change your mind on this piece? Like, what was it that had you, actually, maybe there's something else here, or have you always kind of looked at the world in this way?
I usually keep a very positive outlook, open heart, open mind to things. And a lot of the stuff that's fake or BS or whatever will come in and then go out. And yeah, I'm strong enough to handle those things. But then you're open to all the good things that come and all the really cool things that come. And then you wouldn't have had that opportunity otherwise. So I try to always keep a very optimistic outlook on things, look on the brighter side. There's always a lesson in the failures and on the in the bad stuff too of when that comes to the equation. So I've always had that outlook. And I think that's it's done very well for me in my life, both from a business perspective, friendships, relationships, that kind of thing. And I think that when you have that outlook, you are giving yourself the best chance of success to whatever you're trying to do.
For you, when it comes to cannabis companies that you've been involved with and your other ventures, what is, I guess, how's that energy actually, or that kind of perspective, benefited you?
So staying positive is really like, what's the alternative? Then you get negative and you get depressed and you get sad and a lot of people use substances and you just go in this downward spiral and it really, you know what, at the end of the day, nobody cares. You're going to be down and the people who love you are going to be sad for you and they're going to hurt a little bit, but you're doing it to yourself. So is what you want to do, or do you want to be successful and happy and be a benefit to the people around of you? So I think it's just really conscious choices every day, whether you're in cannabis or in water or in business or accounting, or you're working a 9-to-5. If you stay positive and look for the positive things when life gets negative, because lots of life is negative stuff. My car broke down. My wife's mad at me. My husband said this. My kids are crying. There's 1,000 things that you can see as negative in your life. So if you make it negative and dwell on it negatively, it's going to continue to be that for you. But if you take it as a blessing and take it as a learning experience and then focus on what makes you happy and what will be a positive step forward, you win every time.
Have you always thought like that?
Kind of. We all have our bad days, but I've grown up with, I'm very blessed to have a very strong, supportive mom and dad who taught like good foundation for us and always supported me whenever I did. And then I think just learning through life, I've always been a bit tenacious and kind of like wanted to be the best at what I do. And that's just my nature. It's like that. I'm like a 24/7 guy. I'm not a 9-to-5 guy. So I think you can't be negative in those dynamics because you'll 24/7 make yourself negative and you're done. So you almost don't have a choice but to be positive in that dynamic.
How do you pull yourself out of a bit of a spiral there? Because I think you're right. You do have those days, right? And I'm interested to understand from a performance perspective, what is has you kind of shift gears? Because I think that's a tricky one, right? Because we can get caught up in the downward spiral. There can be a lot of stuff going on, cars breaking down, you name it, lots of negative stuff in life.
Yeah.
What have you found helps you kind of shift from reverse into first gear?
So I'm very good at taking myself out of the equation and looking back at myself to seeing what's actually going on. I think that's a really great perspective to have, both from an introspective point of view, but then also from a global perspective point of view, like, oh, my car broke down, but you have a car, you know? A lot of people don't have cars in the world. A lot of people would pray to have the broken down car that you have. So if you try to, oh, like, this deal didn't go through, or I didn't make this million this month or something, like, okay, but you still did really well, or you did the goal, but you're still great and you're still healthy and happy. So I think perspective is a big thing. I also like to, in my later years here, I also like to feel that anger and hurt and frustration and depression. I like to feel it a little bit, and it gives me a little bit of depth and perspective and growth, I feel. And because I'm also strong enough to then snap myself out of it and go back to the positive side. But I like to feel it a little bit, because there is growth in that feeling. And you know, being punched in the face all the time, or being knocked down, or it doesn't go, or the heartbreak from a emotional breakup with your loved one or something, that heartbreak has a lot of teaching in it. And I think if you embrace those moments, and then, okay, I was sad for a day, 2 days, 3 days, okay, let me jump back out of it and get going again, I think that can be very, very powerful.
Yeah, it's an interesting point you raised, right? I think it can be really... It's easy to say often, it's sometimes much harder to do. It sounds like you've built a lot of muscle around that piece. And I mean that is in terms of you've got a lot of reps on the chart, as it were, for that piece. I'm interested though, from how's that changed from younger Chris, 20-year-old Chris, when he was, you know, left school, all guns blazing 24/7. What would you say some of the things you've changed your mind on most in that kind of period?
This is an interesting one for me. It's very specific to me, so I don't know how it will relate, but I was very trusting and very nice. And even throughout life into my 30s and stuff. And I think as life has gone on, you learn to still be nice and still be trusting, but you have to have the protectiveness and the strength behind of you to understand that most people take your niceness for weakness. And most will betray your trust just because of whatever's going on with them. So you have to be strong enough to be able to handle that and not be hurt by, oh, okay, I gave a lot of love and respect to this person and then they turned around and betrayed me. Or I went into business with these people and they tried to screw me over. You know, that I've been through a lot of those cycles in life where you're just like, okay, help everybody and look after everybody and be nice to everybody. And then they're like, God, why am I taking punched in the face by the people that say that they love me, you know? So I think that's one of the things I've learned over the years is to be, I guess, a little stronger, but also more disciplined and more specific of how I use my niceness and where I place my trust.
And when you say niceness, what do you mean by that? You mean like kind of generosity, or is it just kind of like you're a friendly kind of guy?
Yeah, I think a bit of both. I mean, I'm always nice to everybody and always treat everybody with a lot of respect. And I expect that from everybody too, because of who I am and how I operate. But I think that when it gets into deeper relationships and deeper friendships and that niceness and the giving nature comes out, a lot of people can take advantage of that and not even necessarily mindfully taking advantage, but just how they are and whatever struggles they go through. And there's only so much you can give as an individual that when you're not getting it back, you're actually hurting yourself by giving. So I've found to learn that balance over time in life.
And what if we bring that lens now to a performance piece? What have you changed your mind on when it comes to, let's say, intelligent performance or performing in your domain, that being entrepreneurship? What do you think you got wrong, or what have you changed your mind on since your early 20s?
So I think I work a lot smarter now. I know what I don't know. So I surround myself with a ton of brilliant people and much smarter people than me to help guide me along the way. And that's very empowering for them, but also for me, because I have a great backup system when I'm like, yo, I don't know how to do this. Can you help me? And I get an expert to come help me. And I think that moving forward in life, working smarter and not harder is a really good project, but I think people take that the wrong way. They think that working smarter means you don't work enough as much or not go work as hard. And that's not the case. I think, I can't remember where I heard it, but it's like, okay, if I learned that in a day I can make $12,000, but now I've learned to make $12,000 in an hour, that doesn't mean you just work for the hour to make your $12,000. That means you work the 12 hours and you've now made $144,000. You know, so it's a way to calculate those things and to work smarter, but also keep the work ethic there.
Yeah, I think it's Andrew Tate certainly popularized that idea with some of the work he's done.
That's maybe where I heard it. Yeah, from
Andrew. And he's a contentious figure, I think. If you look beyond some of that stuff, I think some of the core content actually can be very powerful and impactful. Especially to an intelligent performance pace, like he's certainly on. And in terms of your fighting backgrounds, I mean, how do you think that's improved your business ability, your martial art, the discipline, the diligence that takes?
So it's essential, I would say, and a fundamental to where I am. And you touched on Andrew Tate. So like 90% of the stuff he says is bang on. He did a great job with making himself famous with some controversial things. But when you look at the fundamentals of discipline and respect and working hard and looking after your family, that's all as men is what we like to do. So, that is where I heard the whole working smarter and harder thing. And I think that and he has a martial arts background too. So do I. I think the fundamentals that you get in martial arts and the four pillars are discipline, respect, patience, and confidence. When you have those, they're so applicable to everything else in life. And you fall off sometimes or not be as, like, that's how life works. But when you have those pieces, it's very easy to get back up again and get more successful again and get really back on the horse. So I would say it's been a huge fundamental for me and a huge base of my success.
It's interesting. I'm going to pick on that consistency piece because I was on a bike ride on the weekend. I was thinking about consistency, and you hear a lot about how consistency is the root of success. And I can't help but think it's actually incorrect advice because in order to be consistent, to first be inconsistent, and you have to realize, and I'll correct you, but you have to be consistently inconsistent. So not giving up when you're inconsistent. And that produces consistency because I'm interested from your side of that. I think it's so easy when we do fall off the horse to go, I won't bother. What's your take on inconsistency when it comes to actually achieving consistency?
So I think people are a little hard on themselves. I think it's okay. It's human nature and all that kind of stuff. I mean, as disciplined as I like to say I am, I have my bad days. I have the days I don't work out. I have the days like, I got busy. But you could have done 100 push-ups, bro. Like, why are you not still doing something, you know? So we all fall off, but it is the what you fall back on is the fundamentals that you've created. So the consistent part, it's part of life. But as much as you can cut that out, which comes from the discipline part, you get into a system of functioning of being consistent. So it goes to your point, consistently inconsistent will continually make you have a stronger base to move forward.
It's interesting, isn't it? I think it's, I totally agree and I get what they're saying about consistency and the ability to keep showing up is, you know, makes you a formidable opponent when you are, especially when you're tired, when you've got stuff going on, you've had a bad day, when the ability to keep showing up, keep performing, whatever.
You can't beat that guy. You can't beat the guy that doesn't show up. It's impossible. As much as you beat him down and he keeps showing up, you can't beat him. So that's the guy that you want to be.
That's very cool. And I think it speaks to your hydration component in terms of like with recovery, with good recovery, with making sure you're fine tuning these 1%. And forgive me, Chris, I don't want to diminish your focus with the hydration side. But if you line up these different dominoes, get them right, ultimately it's going to enhance your capability, performance, ability to show up and perform, achieve a level of consistency, or at least kind of nudge you. And I think you put it really well. That kind of, what do you fall back on that baseline? And just by looking at your physique through this, you certainly would suggest you had a strong base, right? In terms of even if you have a bad day, you know, you hit too many of your tequilas, your funny tasting tequilas. But, you know, now you've got ability to bounce back and move forward, right?
Correct. I use martial arts anatomy as nice. So when you start training, your feet are very wide apart and your base is very strong when you're doing all your punches and all your movement and all your stuff. And when you start to kick, your legs are wide open and you're creating a foundation for yourself. But when you get higher and progress and learn, you're standing on one leg with the other leg crossed in the air and you have the same, if not more power, but it's because you created an incredible foundation. So it's a great analogy for life. If you build your foundation, then you can build and go and do crazy cool things. And you're able to do that because you know that your foundation's strong. And if it's not strong, you'll only get to a point and then you'll crumble as well. So I think it's a great analogy for that.
Chris, I think it's a great place to leave this conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us and share your perspectives around hydration and how people can actually enhance that side of things, boost recovery, boost performance, and genuinely just make sure they have a better living, right? So certainly it speaks to, we have amazing resources these days. We've got running water, you know, coming out of our taps. The question is that really the kind of the best? And if, especially if you're interested in that kind of high level, then, you know, these 1%ers make a massive difference and enhance hydration. From the sounds of things, it's been significant in terms of a scientific perspective too. So, Chris, thank you so much for taking the time out to speak to us. We're going to link to the, it's Evolve H2O, if I'm not mistaken. What is it?
Perform H2O. Yeah.
And the Evolve company is the mothership. So we did the wearables and stuff like that. So yeah, really excited to see where this technology goes. And thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.